Hi everyone! Shane and I are so excited about OnRamp Season 2. We've both really enjoyed getting to hear from you all about your experiences and questions related to engaging race through the lens of faith. And in fact, we were so inspired at the end of last season that we hurried off to make Season 2 with hopes to get it out to you this past summer in 2017. But then for a variety of reasons, we were unable to publish those episodes until just now in December of 2017. We believe the content, unfortunately, continues to be very relevant. However, it's important to us that you know when we originally recorded these episodes so that we don't seem to be missing the mark or avoiding any culturally salient conversations from the past few months. But with that said, please do enjoy OnRamp Season 2, and we can't wait to hear from you all again soon. Bye!
You're listening to OnRamp, and I'm your host, Carrie Fisher.
And I'm your host, Shane Blackshear.
Two Christians talking about race.
Because everyone needs a jumping on point.
This is OnRamp.
Welcome back, everybody. We're so glad to be back for Season 2 of OnRamp. And thank you for everyone who encouraged us to come back with another season. And for all of your ideas and thoughts about what we could talk about, Shane, you and I both had some ideas of what we might want to talk about this season, but also we got several things that we hadn't thought of. And so
that people threw out for us.
That's right.
That you, the listener, said, hey, you should talk about this, which we really appreciate.
Yeah, we aim to please. So we want to reiterate again that as we move forward with doing this podcast, there's just so many ways that we could go with it. We talked about having other people come in and do interviews. We talked about what would be gained or lost by spending more time talking about various different specific racial and ethnic group demographic challenges and strengths and joys and all those types of things. But really, we hope to have a lot of opportunity to do lots of episodes of OnRamp. And for this season, we think we're going to keep the format basically the same. So hopefully you guys weren't lying when you said you liked hearing Shane and I talk about these things.
We're totally calling your bluff.
It's just going to be us again. Even though there's tons of other ways we could situate this second season, we decided to stick with just us. And one thing that we want to always clarify and be upfront with is that we know that this is such a big topic, and we never want to be guilty of leaving out important topics. Like, there's so much going on in the United States today around topics like immigration and refugees, and we just don't want to make it seem like that's not something we care about or something that we're aware of. But for the purpose of maybe being able to dig deep in one area, we're going to stick with mostly using our experiences as a Black and biracial woman and a white man, and talking about what we've learned about race together and apart. And so please don't think that we're ever avoiding big topics, and we hope that you'll find other podcasts and other books and literature to read up on all the ways that we want to be people of peace in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, so for today, we both sort of connected with one of the ideas that was given to us by a listener. So once again, thank you for that. And I'm not sure how I want to explain it, so I'm going to say, Shane, what are we talking about today?
So I think someone brought up this concept or this thing that they hear from others, and it can kind of manifest itself in one of two ways. One of them, scenario one, would be this kind of sentiment that, like, yeah, it's too bad that racism exists and manifests itself in all these terrible ways, but this earth is not our home, so things are just going to be that way, and we need to hold on until we get to heaven someday with Jesus.
Right.
And so, as Christians, there are some sentiments in there that we can affirm.
Sure.
Like, Jesus exists. Mm-hmm. Heaven is a real thing.
I'm on board.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So far, so good. So, it can look like that. The other way that I've seen it personally manifest itself was, I saw this in a Facebook post once where someone had posted about some injustice. This was like last year or the year before, but one of the, it was, you know, one of the shootings, or it was one of the police officers who was exonerated or something like that. And then somebody in the comments section was legitimately lamenting it, but she was saying, she said something to the effect of, you know, it's just so difficult that you don't know what to do. I guess, and her words were, I guess we just have to leave it to God. And that's so honest and relatable in one sense, mm-hmm. right? But after I read that, I actually wrote a blog post, and I don't do that very much anymore, but it was called Racial Reconciliation is Too Important to Leave to God.
I didn't remember that title. That's
You like that one? So I want to kind of just talk about that a little bit. And I think that obviously that is a response that only a Christian would have, right? Like, sure. And there, you know, there are plenty. Christians don't have the monopoly on racism. Mm-hmm. Those of other religions, those of non-religions that also are racist as well. But really only a Christian would say those. And so we want to address that. We also think that's why we felt compelled to do this podcast it's about race through the lens of Christianity.
Yeah.
So I guess in this episode, probably more than others, we're going to talk a little more theology than normal.
Yeah.
So it's going to get a little more Jesus-y than normal, but we love that. That's what we're here for. I just want to talk about that. Let's talk about just the idea that this earth isn't our home and we just need to hold on until then. That's based on what we would call bad eschatology. So eschatology is just a big word, just meaning your belief about end times, when the world's going to end, what's going to happen then.
Yeah.
You know, in America, Christians have for a long time just had an unbiblical eschatology. This story that a lot of us learned in church growing up, that you die and you either go down to hell or you go up to heaven, and those are the places you go for eternity, and then and it's done. Mm-hmm. Or at the end of the world, Jesus comes back and you go to one of those places.
Okay.
That's really not the story that we see in the Bible. In the Bible, we, the believers, will, when they die, they go to rest with Jesus. That's what most of the time the Bible refers to as heaven. But then at the end of the age, at the end of all things, heaven and earth combine and become new heaven and new earth, new Jerusalem, sometimes it's called. And that is where we spend eternity. And so that's all that business that that Paul talks about resurrection all the time, and the resurrection of the dead. He says, you know, 1 Corinthians 15, he says, if there's no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. Mm-hmm. So what's he talking about there? So this place on earth, this is the place where we're going to spend eternity someday, when at the end of all things. So why does that matter? Why does that matter specifically as it pertains to this idea that, yeah, racism is bad, but we just need to hold on? Because the earth, in a very real sense, is our home.
Hmm.
And please, everyone, I think N.T. Wright's Surprised by Hope is like, should be required reading, because it discusses all these things and lays it out much, much better than I could ever. But there is this idea that the things we do on earth matter. And I think Christians know that instinctively, and yet we say things like, well, we just need to hold on because it's all going to go away anyway.
Yeah.
And if that were true, then really nothing outside of praying to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior would matter. We could do whatever we wanted after that in any way. And so the things we do here very much matter and will reverberate into eternity.
Mm. Yeah, we've talked about that some before, and I'm really touched by the way that you talk about that. And I never even dropped out of seminary, and so I don't know really anything about what you just said, and I haven't even read that book, but I'm going to now.
But I just think it's really beautiful, and I can see where that would be true. And the from my perspective, I was just talking about this with some people today, that what I hear and what I think a lot of suffering people, it doesn't even have to just do with race necessarily, but a lot of times what I hear when someone sort of says, well, this world is not our home, or it'll all be better when Jesus comes, or I'm going to pray for you, though, any of those types of things, is sort of like, I'm going to sit here in my privilege and you sit there in your lack of privilege. And I mean, it is a shame that I ended up sort of rich and upper middle class
that's right.
You ended up poor and black and gay and all these whatever, you know, all these layers of things that could make life more challenging for you. But, you know, see you on the other side.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a shame that I'm at the top of the privilege pyramid and you're at the bottom, but you know,
c'est la vie.
It's the way it is. Yeah. And the other thing is too, that we, you know, in a practical sense, well, most of the time we don't react that way to anything else. So like if something is wrong in my personal life, I usually don't say, this is just the way it's going to be. I usually say, I'm going to fix this, right? You know, I'm going to try really hard and fix this. If it's something in my personal life, if I'm whatever.
If there's any way I could have something to do with this to make it better, I'll do that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if I'm whatever, if I'm unemployed, well, I'm going to bust my butt to get a job. I'm not going to say that's the way it is. We do things to make change most of the time when that unfortunate circumstance is happening to us. But when it's other people, it's the other way.
Yeah. And it strikes me that I've been thinking about this a lot lately. One of my best friends from grad school was a guy who at that time identified as agnostic or atheist. I'm not sure how he identifies now or really even how he identified then. But I learned many spiritual, beautiful things from him. And one thing that he was always telling me, well, to be honest, I could never remember which of two things he said. So he said one of these two things, either pray with hands in motion or pray with feet in motion. One of those is probably a saying. I don't know which one or both, but the sentiment is the same, which is that, you know, a lot of times I think when I was learning how to be a social worker and trying to figure out what tools did I have at my disposal to help individuals and groups and systems who were being oppressed, you know, some of my responses were like, I'm just gonna pray for God to do something about it. Sure. You know, I've certainly been, and it's not to say that we should not be engaging prayer and that prayer, you know, of course can be a powerful thing, but he was always saying, you know, pray in action, really, like let your body be the prayer. And I remember at the time feeling like, well, he doesn't get Christianity. And now I feel like, oh, he got Christianity better than me.
Right. Yeah.
So I just feel like, as you said earlier, many of us have been trained and socialized to think of heaven as a distant future, and God as sort of doing most of his intervening there, and us just enjoying that intervening and not being a part of actual change ourselves. So I think it takes some intellectual and emotional and spiritual vulnerability and openness to consider, what if I'm supposed to be the hands of God in this world? And what if I'm supposed to be ushering in the kingdom that is to come and is now, you know?
Yeah. And you reminded me of other things I was going to say, but you know, to your point, like you don't even know, you need to go outside the Bible. Like James says, like faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. And that is, I mean, just read James. Like he goes over and over about that. You have to put this into action. And in fact, if you have faith, then that should propel you to do works. Mm-hmm. Actually, they don't pit themselves against each other. They actually work hand in hand and get synchronicity. And you, the other thing that I was thinking about again, everyone read N.T. Wright, Surprised by Hope. But when we just, as you and I, Carrie, are sitting here in real time, Easter was not that long ago. Mm-hmm. And on Good Friday, Jesus dies on the cross. He was ushering in his new kingdom. Like, that was him saying, this is King Jesus's inauguration, and something completely new in the world has been born when Jesus was on the cross. And if you think about it is something, the cross is a tangibly different thing that has ever happened, because earthly people want power for themselves. Like, they want more for themselves.
That's right.
And so this was God saying, no, this is what something completely different looks like, where I stretch out my hands and I die for you on a cross, giving everything for you instead of taking everything. This is something completely new in the world. And N.T. Wright would even say that it really changed the world in a tangible way, that the idea of, like, human rights begins to be born at that time. Like, something is new in the world then. And then on Easter Sunday, this is Jesus saying, look, okay, I told you the new kingdom is here, and here's what that looks like.
Yeah.
This is what that looks like. In my kingdom, things like resurrection happen.
Yes.
And that is also, obviously, a precursor to us one day resurrecting as well. Mm-hmm. And because he did that, as the Bible says, the firstborn of the dead, he says, basically, I'm going to show you how to do this resurrection thing so that you can as well. And when we, however you want to put it, become Christians, accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're saying, I want to be a part of that new thing that you're doing in the world, God. Mm-hmm. And that is how we do it. We fight against these oppressions, these demonic things in the world, like systematic racism and the racism in our own hearts. We resist and we say, no, I'm going to be a part of the new thing that Jesus is doing in the world.
Yeah. And I just love that new thing, part of the cycle of the new thing is death and agony and brutality. I mean, you know, that, like, to get to that, like, beauty and resurrection comes sometimes because we've entered into pain. We've chosen to enter in for a pain that wasn't ours. You know, like, I think that's, like, what Jesus modeled for us, is that, I mean, talk about giving up privilege. You know, that was really Jesus's thing. And that's the model that we really got about how to do Christianity, I think, which is, like, some of us have been given various layers of ability to sort of ignore pain and to take what we feel like we deserve sometimes, because that's what we came into the world with. But I think that model says, no, you go into places, even if that wasn't sort of your birthright, and you enter into the pain, because beautiful things can happen out of that.
Yeah. So you're exactly right. He is, like, the model for laying down privilege.
Yeah.
That's it for this week's episode of OnRamp. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review OnRamp on iTunes to help keep the show front and center. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.